For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What up? This is Robert Ory.
Ory, three-pointer. Buries it.
You might know me as Big Shot Bob.
To Ory for three. Oh, unbelievable.
This guy is off the charts.
What's going on, Big Shot Bob?
Robert Ory from downtown.
Well, I will tell you, there are plenty of ears on this show today. After how things went down last night, it is the Big Shot Bob podcast. Let's call it episode 161. That is B-Dog, Brandon Harper, B-Harper90 on all your platforms. My name is Rob Jenners, at Rob Jenners pretty much everywhere. That is seven-time NBA champion. And were you working last night? Robert Ory.
Yeah, I had to watch that.
Yes. I mean, we are in the thick of everything. We have a lot of playoffs-related stuff to talk about. Some of these series have been a lot better than I thought they were going to be. I'm going to say that out of the gate, including the Lakers Nuggets. I think last night is top of mind for everybody. 20-point lead in the third at one point, and you go down on the Jamal Murray buzzer beater at the very end of regulation. And I felt kind of bad for AD, not because he didn't get a hand on that shot. But after Murray fell back into the bench, AD kind of went with him, and they mobbed Murray on the bench, and AD is stuck in the middle of it. He couldn't freaking get out of there, and they're like, he's just trying to get out of the madness. Yeah. But that was some shit last night, man.
Yeah. I will say one of the coaches made sure he didn't fall back too far and kind of held him up. So it was a crazy game, you know, and I think the biggest key for me was the fact that the Lakers have done this twice now, where they're playing really good in the first half, and the second half, they run out of gas. I don't know if it has to do with the altitude. I don't know if it because of the shortened rotation, but that second half is just out of gas. They scored 40 points in the second half, and I think they scored 40 points almost in one quarter. So they just ran out of gas.
Well, and unless somebody turned on the valve to make the altitude a lot stronger in that second half, was the altitude not working in the first half? Because
the fatigue sets in, man. You know, it's a marathon, not a sprint.
I get it. I definitely understand it. But you know, Denver, you know, they have one of the more ultimate home court advantages, obviously because of the elevation, but at some point in time, whether you were going to see them in the first round or you were going to quote-unquote avoid them to see them later, hey, this is what it's going to be, this is what it is, and this is what it has been. The real story is you are 0-10 versus the Denver Nuggets. Elevation, no elevation, because part of that, those 10 losses, all of them didn't come in Denver. Some of them came in L.A. too. So what elevation problem we got there?
No, we just said they ran out of gas in the second half.
Oh, they have to
go deep into their rotation. You know, they're getting no production out of their bench. I think, you know, only production they're getting is out of Prince. You know, I look at one period when they had Jackson Hayes in there. I think they only had like two offensive rebounds, and one was by AR and Jackson Hayes.
Yeah.
You have to play an active guy like Jackson Hayes just, you know, to, you know, we use the word muck things up in there. And for me, you know, like, there's no reason when you set Rui, go big. Go Jackson Hayes, go AD LeBron, you know. And for me, because Rui, he was so good last year in the playoffs against Denver. Mm-hmm. So far, he missed like four layups last night.
Yeah.
You know, typical Rui. And that's not him.
Right.
So for me, I just think he's going to have to go deeper in their rotation, especially if they go back to Denver, which I don't know, because
they're going back.
They have the recipe to beat Denver, but my fear is they've been holding Murray in check until last night in that fourth quarter where Murray started hitting jumpers.
Yeah, he got loose.
Yeah, he
got
loose
late because, in the game, man. They had him tight in the first half, and then he got loose late. Yeah.
And so that is going to be the key. Everybody always talk about you. I don't give a damn about Jokic. There's certain players that are going to be them, and you can't do anything about it.
Right.
But Murray, he averages 22 points in the regular season, but 32 in the playoffs versus the Lakers. That cannot happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, and outside of those two, I think the other guy that scares me, who he's a three on their team, but will probably be a two on many other teams around this league, Michael Porter Jr. You know, the way that he can shoot the ball at 6'10", and the way that he spreads the floor, the Lakers, you already have an issue with the other two. And like I said, those two are going to do what they do regardless of what point in time in the game they want to come alive. But guys like Michael Porter Jr., who I don't think the Lakers have anything for, is a problem. You know, and the way that he spreads the floor with his size and his versatility, I think that's also a matchup nightmare for the Lakers. But I do agree with you.
Yeah.
When we look in the past, and obviously sometimes you got to look back in order to figure out what you need to do moving forward.
True.
When the Lakers had a combination of JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard, that's what gave – now, this is early Joker, but that gave Joker fits. And that gave any other team with size fits because now I got an extra body. I have another body that has six fouls. And mm-hmm. we're going to rough you up, and we're going to make it difficult for you to play your game. Dwight Howard made it difficult for the Joker. JaVale McGee made it difficult for the Joker. So when you said they need to sit Rui, because they've been going small and having AD at the center, that ain't it. They need to go back to big and have Jackson Hayes and AD.
That's what I just said.
Yeah, that's what I said. I agree with you. I agree with you on that, and that's one of the things that I was looking. I'm like, because Rui is struggling. Yes, mm-hmm. you want to spread the floor, but if spreading the floor is not – If you're not knocking down shots, spreading the floor is pointless.
Yeah. You know, and also for me, you don't want to put an aging LeBron, you know, 40 years old. I know he's not 40, but I'm just rounding up. I'm putting him on Gordon, and I'm putting Rui on Michael Porter Jr. And the reason is, you know, and sometimes LeBron gets lost when he has to guard a guy on the perimeter, you know, and it's like all the aging greats do that. You know, Kobe did it. LeBron does it. Clyde did it. A lot of these guys do it because they so intent on trying to help defensively, you know, and trying to help the team. Where you get a guy that says, yo, your rules are different when it comes to guarding Michael Porter Jr. Instead of being a foot on the paint, you're a foot off the paint so you can get to him. And for me, that's one of the things you got to do. And Rui is such a fundamentally sound guy. If you say A, B, C, D, Rui does A, B, C, D. Mm-hmm. And I think if you put him on there as a LeBron, you and Gordon, you guard each other. Because AD did a good job in the first half on Jokic. You know, he took the responsibility. So that's a little tweak in the lineup that I was doing. I thought it was perfect putting, you know, D'Lo on KCP, even though KCP dunked on fucking Prince last night. Like, damn, KCP, where'd that come from? But, yeah, so I think the matchup is good. It's just something about that second half where the Lakers lose focus and they don't have any go-to plays like Denver does.
And for them to shoot the ball to it, I mean, D'Lo was lights out from three yesterday.
Yesterday. Night. In game one, he couldn't buy a shot.
He couldn't buy a bucket. But game two, I mean, the basket was like the ocean for him. And which is what allowed them to have the 15-point lead going into the half, even though – You know, I do agree with Kenny Smith where he said it sometimes with the Lakers, a 15-point, 20-point lead, I'm never satisfied because we know the history of this of these teams, how they can get lost and they can take their foot off the gas. And I give the credit to the Nuggets because you can never sit up there and say this team is down. Not with the way Jamal Murray and not the way Jokic can play and not the way all those other guys can play as well. So they're never out of it. But for a LeBron-led basketball team, there were times where there was a moment in a stretch where LeBron hit back-to-back threes, and I think on the next three possessions, and this was down the stretch, he gave the ball up. And my thing is, as a superstar, and I know we LeBron is about getting guys involved, but there are times I want to see LeBron more. I know, even at 39 years old, but he's on the floor. He's playing. I want to see you be more selfish and take this thing over and say, I don't care what we do. I'm getting us back to L.A. tied 1-1, and we're going to tip this home court advantage because we cannot come out of Denver and go home 0-2. We just can't do it.
You know, I don't agree with you on that one because, to me, if you go back to the first half, LeBron wasn't doing that. You know what I'm saying? It's certain games when you have the advantage, I'm good with that.
Right.
When it comes to Denver, he doesn't have that advantage. You think about Aaron Gordon is big enough and strong enough to withstand his force. You got Jokic who's big enough to withstand his force when he goes to the paint. Now you're kicking in their defense. People don't talk about Denver's defense, but Murray can play defense. KCP can. The only person that owned that team is not a defender is Michael Porter Jr. So that's the problem. And that was one of the things that I felt was a mistake that they made down the stretch by just going to LeBron. Because the two hottest guys in that game was who?
AD. Who didn't score in the fourth.
Yeah.
He took one shot in the fourth.
Yeah.
And my whole point is, you remember, they went to the pick and roll with AD and D'Lo.
Mm-hmm.
D'Lo made a dumbass pass, the lob. They came back down the next time. He got to the bucket and got a layup. He came down that one time, got fouled. But they reversed the call.
Yeah.
So my whole point is, and that was on Michael Porter Jr., who cannot guard him because D'Lo's too crafty. That was one of the things that I thought was kind of messed up where, you know, I don't know if that goes to the players or the coaching staff, but I'm going to blame the coaching staff on this one. You know, and I love Darvin Ham, but I thought he made some big coaching mistakes in the game. And the first mistake he made was almost like when I was mad at Coach Dave Rebebo. If a guy is 3-for-3 from three, hot, you don't fucking sub him. You don't sub him until he raises his hand. This is the playoffs. You throw your fucking rotation shit out the fucking window. You sub in. Okay, if you want to put Spencer in the game, that's fine. You took fucking AR out and you put him on the bench, but you leave D'Lo in the game. To me, that was the biggest mistake that was made from the jump. You don't take a hot guy out of the game because why? He's spreading the floor for you, and he's making the fucking game easier for AD and LeBron and everybody else on the floor. That, to me, was the biggest mistake. And he sat, even though he only sat like 4 minutes, those 4 minutes were huge because your lead could have increased, and you could have put your foot on their neck, and it would have been over from that point.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, I mean, you had a lot of missed opportunities down the stretch.
Yeah.
Obviously, anytime you have, and speak to this from a player's perspective. Does your approach to a game change when you're playing with that kind of a lead? I mean, because it seemed like you said, they took their foot off the gas late in the game. And to me, it just felt like the approach to the game changed entirely as we got into the fourth quarter of that game. And it was almost like the mentality wasn't quite there.
Well, they went into the mentality of LeBron, save us. LeBron, every play was ran for LeBron. And I even called. I said, they went to a timeout. I said, I guarantee you they throw AD in the fucking corner for a three. And your play comes out, AD's in the fucking corner doing nothing.
Yeah.
And to me, it's like I've been on every team I've been on, we have dominant big men, right? We go to the fucking huddle. Sometimes the coaches sit there because we are, no, this is what we fucking running. Tim, you're going to get the ball. Dream, you're going to get the ball. Shaq, you're going to get the ball. This is what we're going to do. You're going to feed off this, and you kick it to the open body. We swing, easy jumper from the three. And for me, it's like you put AD, who's shooting like 23, 26% from three, in the fucking corner for a three, but he's hot. No, he's hot from mid-range. He's not hot from three. It's a total difference.
Right.
When you're a shooter, yeah, that counts. But when you're big and you're not a shooter, that doesn't work that way. And for me, that was just – it was so many – mistakes. I don't know, you blame it on the coaching staff or you blame it on the players, but players need to recognize the advantage. You know, sometimes you got to, you know, this team does break plays. They don't run what Darvin tells them to run. But as a player, you said, no, we fucking running this. D'Lo, get the ball. LeBron, go to your 45-degree three so you'll be ready. I'm sitting the pick and roll.
You got to get out of there with a win. You got to get out of there with a dub, especially last night.
It is,
I mean, good grief.
That is such a momentum swing for Denver, though.
Oh, huge. Huge.
They're feeling like the basketball gods are on this side again, and there's no stopping them.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, You're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Let's move on from the Lakers.
The Sixers.
Yeah, the Sixers. Dude.
My goodness.
Game one, back and forth, all the way down to the fourth. Knicks get the win in game one. Mm-hmm. Then you get that weird play from Embiid in game one, where he throws the ball off the backboard to himself and hurts his knee. And he looked fine last night. He was all over the floor last night. So it obviously didn't mire him too much. But he was slowed down significantly in game one off of what I thought was a showboaty, childish play. Why do that? What's the point of that?
You know, I think for him, it was the only opportunity to, like, get the ball back. But, you know, here's the thing that people don't understand. When you wear that brace, I've had to wear one, Shaq has to wear one. If you land awkwardly, the brace would hit you in your knee, and it would scare you and hurt your knee more than it actually hurts you. And so when I looked at that, I thought the brace, you can already see that he has blood on that sleeve. Yeah. That I guarantee you that brace kind of prevented him from hurting his knee, and it kind of did something.
Dug into him or something.
Exactly. And yeah. So I think that's what it was, because he looked fucking fine the next game, though. I tell you that.
No, he looked right on. Mm-hmm. As far as last night went, he looked right on. And again, another really good game last night. The back and forth the whole freaking way. At one point, it looked like the Sixers were going to charge off. And
they were up five with
Reggie Miller happened to him.
A minute and a half? Yeah, 90 seconds to go or something?
Yeah.
And then the Knicks, yeah, man. And by the way, a wildly strange finish. One of those, like, steal the inbound, get the ball back, the shot. What the hell was the three that hit the back of the rim, went straight up in the air and came back down and went in? I mean, a wild series of plays for the Knicks to get there. But the Knicks go up 2-0, man.
Think about this. Reggie Miller did it to the Knicks. You push the Knicks player down, you get it, you knock down a three.
Yep.
I guess the basketball gods are returning the favor for the Knicks.
They owed him one for fucking 30 years ago. had this one in our pocket for 30 years.
You hold him, Maxie, you push him down, and then you take the ball from him. It was like, oh my goodness. Like, you know, home cooking worked to his best last night for Denver and for the Sixers, for the Knicks. It's weird, but I think it all panned out.
Yeah, I think Philly, the Knicks are hot right now, but obviously with this shifting back to Philly, I think we're gonna see the tides turn a little bit. I have more confidence in Philly being able to turn around than the Lakers, just for the simple fact that Denver, they just have the Lakers number. I don't know what it is when the Lakers just get leads, and I hate to take this back to them, but when we start talking about teams that are down 0-2, teams that are supposed to be title contenders, regardless of what seed they are, we talked about how should the Lakers lose in order to get this and to get that and get this, and I said no, and I still feel like they did the right thing by winning. And getting the Nuggets because they were going to get them at some point in time. And you got to beat the man. You got to beat him. You got to.
You got to win those games, man. You got to win last night's game. You have to. You absolutely have to win that game. That's just a backbreaker. And I mean, in the battle of who could care less, I think Cleveland is up 2-0 on the Magic.
Man, the Magic look like they still in freaking preseason,
man.
Yeah,
I mean, like, it looks like a preseason game. You're 100% right.
They don't know.
They're not moving the ball. They're not shooting the ball well. They're not running plays. It's all over the place.
They don't know yet. This is a learning experience for them, and because they don't know yet.
Yeah, and and I felt so bad for the, for the Pelicans. They had right, that.
That's
game.
Where I was going next. Yeah, Pelicans Thunder. Yeah, OKC almost let that one get away.
They did.
But you got no Zion.
And that's another team that's learning too, because we talked about even with them being a number one seed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they're young and they're
almost
learning.
Let that one get out. But I think New Orleans without Zion Williams, he's going to be reevaluated, I think, next week.
Next week?
Yeah, I think that's what they said, the hamstring.
Damn.
I know.
It's a hamstring,
it's like 2 weeks or something, I think, with the hamstring. Or a week and a half, whatever the hell it was. I read it this morning. It said he's going to be reevaluated on next Wednesday or something.
And this may be the wrong time to discuss it, because we're in the middle of the playoffs, and you got to play regardless of who's there and who's not. Mm-hmm. But I feel as though we continue to revisit this because we got to continue to revisit it because stuff keeps happening. After so many times, when does New Orleans look at this and say, you know what, man? We got to – what are we to do? What are we to do? Because we don't know – and I know he was much healthier this season and he looked better than what he's
– He had a real good season, yeah.
But, you need him for moments like this. You need him for times like this, especially if you want to be a contender out in the West. You want to be one of these surprise teams. You're a team that has great defenders on the perimeter. You don't have a prominent big man, and you're one of the better defensive teams in the league. There are so many components that you have, and you need your guy, your franchise player there, but it just seems as though he's never there when you need him to be there, whether it be in the regular season or even in the – like how far does New Orleans go with before they say, you know what, what are we going to be?
I think when you have a generational talent like that, you hold on to them. You think about this. You think about how much everybody talked about, AD and him not being available. And he was available this season. So I think you had to understand that Zion's still young.
Yeah.
Even though he's been in the league, 4 years, 3 years? He should be a rookie on his first year, so you got to understand he's still learning. So, and the learning curve ain't like it used to be, where guys would be in college 3 and 4 years, but they learn in there. Now to get to the pros, they take 1 year and then they burst onto the scene. This guy is still young and learning his, not just his body, but the rigors of the NBA. So I'm holding on to him because you look, just take for instance, look at the NBA draft that's coming up right now this season.
Yeah,
tell me one player out of that draft that you were like, oh, that's my guy.
No,
we got questions about that coming up. We got questions in the shoot around this week coming up about
that. So that's why you keep Zion, because there ain't nothing in that draft.
No, there's nothing down the pipe that you're holding out for. No, there is nothing down the pipe you're holding out for.
Yeah, I get it. And look,
game changers.
And, the concept, from the standpoint of him learning the game and everything, I'm fine with that because he is young. It's just, the best ability is availability.
Yeah, but when it's a hamstring, that's a...
But today it's a hamstring. Next time it's like, it's just, it's just always
I get
something.
It. It's a disappointment.
Be patient, grasshopper.
I get his point. You need him here. This is the reason you have him is for this, and he's not there. So I get it. I get the frustration. I just feel like there's some stuff you just can't.
I know you can't do anything, but after a while, it's like when you want to be a consistent playoff team. You always, you want to be in the top six. You want to be able to compete each and every year. How often are you gonna have him? How often is he gonna be on the floor? How often do you say, "Dang, we're a top six team, and we don't have him"? And I'm not saying that you just easily just ship him off, but it is the questions that you just start to have.
Hey, but nowadays it's with the new rules of the NBA, it's going to be hard to ship off any superstar.
Oh, true.
Because you got to match superstar money with superstar money.
it's a whole new world, man.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to talk about Dame briefly?
He went off?
Dude.
Yeah, 35 in the first half?
Man, the first half.
Yeah.
I mean, he was...
He went old school.
The Bucks
Dame
were up almost 30, I think, at one point that game, and that was... There was no looking back, man. It was...
Hey, they're like, who needs Giannis? This is my team.
Yeah, is that the kind of performance he's going to have to throw out, though, for them to run this series?
Yes.
Is it always going to have to be that without Giannis in the lineup?
He's definitely going to have to, because you look down that list of players that they have, who else is going to score? You know, you might get something out of Portis.
What about Chris Middleton?
I was going to say, Chris Middleton is like, with all the injuries that are piling up on him, he's starting to feel like he's turned to a Clay Thompson where the injuries aren't letting him to perform with the way we're used to seeing him perform. So I just think that's one of the things that, you know, Dame is going to have to do, because everybody else is like, you know, not going to be able to put up buckets like he, you know, and we're not even going to talk about Lopez, who thinks he's a fucking 3-point shooter now instead of being a fucking big and getting in the post and getting out of the way and dominating in the paint, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be up to Dame to carry this team until, you know, the Greek Freak can get back.
Yeah. I think, and Indiana, if Indiana, I don't want to say it's they put something on a silver platter for you, because I don't ever want to say that about another team.
Sure.
But this is your opportunity.
Well, that's the break you need, right? Or want.
Step up, because the best player in this entire series is not going to play. And what there are a lot of shots being missed. They look like a deer in headlight. No pun intended. You know, they're the team that looks disgruntled. They're the team that they're not hitting shots. They're not playing any defense. They're not slowing the game down at all.
No, not at all.
That's not their MO, though.
I understand that. But in the playoffs, the game does slow down a bit. And then you want to maximize your possessions, because that's just basically what they do is, I know they run, but running is great when you're hitting shots. They're not knocking down shots, and they're not playing any defense.
You know what I like best about this playoffs? You think about it. You know, during the season, they were 130, 140. I think
these are 100-point games now.
Yeah, 100-point. Like, the highest was like 110, because of Ant-Man. Yeah. Uh-huh. Ant-Man went off. And
most of them are like 100, a buck of four. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, 114 for Boston. Yeah. But here's the thing about Indiana. Indiana is a team that likes to get up and down. And when you take that away from them, they're not that firepower team that everybody thinks. And, you know, for me, Halliburton, and I'm like, everybody gives him such high praise.
Yeah.
But now you're going up against a guy that really deserved the high praise in Dame Lillard. You know, mm-hmm. Are you able to step up and show everybody, yo, this is why I'm on the Olympic team and not Kyrie Irving? Mm-hmm. You know, for me, I think this is going to be a telling series to see if he has arrived like everybody has said he has arrived. You know, he's a hell of a talent, but the way the superstars in this NBA, when they arrive, they step up in the playoffs. And last game, you didn't show up. So it's going to be very interesting to see if he can rise to the occasion.
Okay. Kawhi sat for game one of the Clippers and the Mavericks. That really didn't make a whole lot of difference. We got playoff Harden in that game. Goodness. A lot of great shots. He was moving the ball well. We got the alley-oop to Russ. I mean, that was cool to see Harden and Russ connected on that stuff. And, they just, man, if the Clippers can continue to find a way to play like this, I feel like this might be a year for them to actually, you know, make some noise.
Yeah.
That
they looked real good.
You know, they look real good. And the crazy part about it, I just lost the big name. Zubac was killing it. He was a big, he would play, you know, I thought Lively would be a little bit more lively than him, mm-hmm. but Zubac came out and I think he had 10 and 10 in the first half. And that's for him, that's great stats.
It's an all-star performance, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah, and he played with some force, he played with some attitude, and you know, it's like he flipped the playoff switch. He says, now I got to be a monster in the paint. And so, you know, if he can continue to play like that, mm-hmm. the Clippers are going to be a scary team.
But that speaks to the – I know they're not what they used to be, especially a guy like Russ, but it also just speaks to the greatness of him and James Harden. You know, that's the way you want your all-stars and future Hall of Famers to step up. Russ still has those games in him.
Sure.
You know, we question a lot about him and things of that nature. We know what he isn't. But one thing we know he is for sure on any given night, he brings the energy, and that's something that team needs. And everybody's got to step up. You know, you know, with that, with Kawhi out, not knowing, you know, how long he's going to be out. Obviously, Paul George is doing his thing. But those two, that's why you have those two there, because it's two more guys who you, who can help step up and make up for what you're lacking with Kawhi out.
Yeah.
And Dallas, I'm going to tell you something right now, dog.
No.
Get blown out like that again. You're going home. I don't care whether it's Dallas, L.A., the moon. It does not matter. You're going home. I don't know what y'all were doing. Luka, Kyrie, all, I don't know what y'all was doing.
Hey, you know, and here's the other thing that nobody ever talks about. James Harden was moving his feet in that game. He was playing really good defense. For James Harden.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
For James Harden.
Well, no, that is true. For James Harden.
For James.
That was good. He was doing some good deep.
Yeah. It's just, they looked exceptional. And yeah. I think they had a good game plan coming in. And you're right, Dallas didn't. I mean, they couldn't buy a clue in that game. They had no answers at all on either side of the ball. Mm-mm. And, yeah, they got to get that ship right, or they're going to be going home real quick.
And I understand game one, I don't want to say like you're filling the team out, because in the West, you played that team four times.
You got punched in the mouth in game one.
Yeah. You got knocked out, and that's a gut punch.
Speaking of punched in the mouth, the Miami Heat, my goodness. Well, the Celtics just came out and showed you exactly why they are who they are
Jimmy,
this year.
No Jimmy.
I mean, just apathetic.
Yeah, it's.
I mean, the Celtics just ran them over.
Some mauling.
It was almost obnoxious.
Yeah.
Brown was on. Tatum was on. I mean, it was just.
Porzingis was on.
Everybody was on. It wasn't like an exhibition game for the Celtics. Yeah. They just ran it. Just straight ran it.
This is.
I think Perk said. Perk said this week. Miami can go 100% from field goal range and 100% from 3-point range and still get swept.
Exactly.
They just don't have enough, and that's just the straw. They drew the straw to play the number one seed.
Yeah.
And I'll say this with Miami. I understand this is Boston. I know this is the first round, but you know, the more and more they do stuff like this. Obviously, they got a ton of pressure on them anyway to win the title this season. But the more and more that pressure mounts up for them to have the season that they had and to be able to seal the deal at the end, because if they do not seal the deal at the end, this is a disappointing season. I'm just going to say that now. Like, the more and more you get on the floor and you start to blow these teams out and you start to look like a well-oiled machine, not saying they won't run into some things here and there because this is the NBA and environment changes and gameplay changes, but I expect them to be in the finals. Personally.
Who do they get in the next round? What's the bracket?
What's the 1-8? 1-8 plays, what, 4-5? The winner of 4-5?
They get the winner. Oh goodness! They get the winner of the Cavs and the Magic.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're at a point. Yeah, they're starting to look like they might just be punching their straight to the Eastern Conference Finals. Yeah.
Now I will say this. I think the Cavs could make a little noise just because of their size down low with Jared Allen.
Yeah.
But I don't think
they're going to get tested very well. The first round. I mean, like we already said, Orlando doesn't really seem to have a whole lot for him right out of the gate. So, you know, I would want you coming in playing your best ball.
Yeah.
And if you haven't been pushed yet, then, yeah, Boston's going to come in and hit you right in the throat.
Yeah.
And then you really get to see what Cleveland's made of this year.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
Chumba. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And then the only series we haven't talked about yet, and we'll wrap up the playoffs on this, but there's so much good playoff stuff. Timberwolves and the Suns was actually a lot closer than the score indicated. That was a back-and-forth game. And Anthony Edwards, my goodness.
Dog.
Watching him come back down the floor and bark at Durant was beautiful. Because it's like, that's the guy he grew up idolizing. That's the guy he wanted to be. Now he's getting him in the playoffs, and he's just putting on a show. That was wild. The man just went off. He just absolutely went off in game one.
You know, the thing about this is, B, you've been saying this all year. That dude's the MVP, man. And
try to tell
the way he's played this year,
dude.
And you just think about it. This dude's gonna get better, man. He's to be still in college.
It's crazy.
He's only 22.
Dude's gonna get better.
Yeah.
So, man, he's gonna, and the thing I like best about him is his confidence. I'm not gonna call it cockiness. I'm gonna call it confidence. His confidence in his ability, his confidence to get it done on the court. And, you know, I watched, you know, them sparingly, but when you sit down, you actually watch a whole game, his ball handling.
Yeah.
His in and outs, his crossovers.
His footwork.
His footwork is amazing. And out of all that, that's still not his best attribute. His best attribute is his ability to stop, load, and spring up on you.
Yeah.
Because when you got a great base like he has, it's going to get you out of a lot of trouble because you're going to get up and
jump up over people.
Anybody who can contest the shot.
Yeah.
That dude is amazing. He's amazing, man.
Dude.
I've seen some, you know, watching in detail, I've seen some people post on Instagram like, a slow motion of how just he moves when it comes to his game. Just the, like, it reminds me so, it's so Kobe Bryant-esque in a sense to the way he can get to the basket, his footwork. You could tell he works on his footwork often. And where he is now at 22, some guys don't hit that stride until they're in their prime. And he ain't nowhere near his prime. And just his ability to create space, just his ability to kind of work in a phone booth in tight spaces and kind of maneuver his way and get to the basket. Dog. And then, like, just the confidence. The way he was talking to KD. KD is his favorite player. He said that numerous times.
Yeah.
The way he was talking to KD, KD knew it.
KD was
like,
laughing.
Oh, no, yeah.
He was laughing at it. Like, everyone's trying to paint this like, oh, it got contested. No, it didn't. It didn't get contentious. He was just laughing it off.
Yeah, because he was like, okay, young buck.
Yeah,
you know,
all right.
You got this one.
Yeah.
But you forget, we got to play. We got
a few more of these to do. Yeah.
But you know, it's funny how everybody compares him to, you know, MJ, Kobe. But you know who he reminds me of with that bass and that ability to spring up over everybody? J.R. Ryder. And a lot of people don't remember J.R. Ryder. J.R. Ryder had that base. Yeah. He had the athleticism.
Had the same kind of build. You know, yeah.
He wasn't as tall as Ant-Man, but he had that strength, that power and like a little muscle.
Right.
And so he reminds me of some of the things because, you know, forget J.R. played in Minnesota too.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm comparing the two. But when you got the ability to spring up over people like that and just be impose your will on other people.
Yeah,
it's lovely to watch.
That's what I'm saying. Look, he ain't just gonna win a MVP. He gonna win a few of them bad boys because
if he keeps up his trajectory, 100%.
Yeah, he and the one thing I love about it, his attitude. Every time they speak to him, every time, you know, he's in an interview, you never have to worry about whether or not he has confidence or not. Hell, some people worry about if he too damn confident.
I was gonna say that would be the old shoot back would go the other way, yeah.
You know, but at the same time, he's the leader of a that's what you want out of the leader of your franchise. That's the type of attitude that you want out of the leader of your franchise. You know, we're gonna play anybody. You know, I believe in my guys believe in me. We ain't scared of nobody, won't fear nobody.
Exactly.
Which is funny because when they put this whole Minnesota project together a couple seasons ago. And it didn't go great out of the gate. I think that we all said the same thing. Somebody's going to have to step up and take that front runner role. Someone's going to have to lead this group of guys somewhere. And I don't think it's going to be Cat. It's definitely not going to be Gobert.
Hell no.
So it had to be Ant-Man.
Yeah.
And I think this is the year you're seeing him just embrace that idea.
And
you know what I mean, he's wrapping his arms around it and going, "Look, this is the I gotta be the leader on this team."
To add to this, he got the best looking basketball shoe out there today. He got the best looking shoes out, and that's the sidebar. But he got the shoe market on lock right now. When it comes to current players, he got the best looking shoe in this. You know, and I prefer Nike. I'm a Nike guy. But I'm going to have to go on over there to Adidas and grab me a couple pair of them just off the street, just to support. You know, he's from Atlanta. And yeah. I may have to just go ahead and grab a pair or two just to support.
Okay. Just to support.
You know, they look good.
All
right. The AE1s?
Oh, he doesn't like them.
You know what? It's funny. I saw the shoe, uh-oh, and it, when I looked at it, I was like, it looks like Tatum's shoe. It looks
as
like
in Jason Tatum.
Yes, like the first one Tatum came out with. It's like a bite off Nike shoe. That's the reason I'm like, okay, you know, look what at one of Tatum's shoes.
He's with Adidas.
He's
with Adidas. But look at Tatum's like Air Jordan shoe, the ones that Ant-Man wears. I'm like, is that the Jordan shoe? I'm like, is with the mesh more? Oh, but yeah, so.
Ant went to Georgia, right?
Yeah, I know that.
So those are the, I don't know if you can kind of tell.
I can see it.
But yeah, that's the colorway that's going to come out for Georgia soon. Mm-hmm. They're red and they're black, clean. That is a good looking shoe.
It's a good looking shoe, but they it's like everybody bites off everybody.
Of
and
course.
That's like the Jordan shoe that Tatum had.
Dude, there's only so many designs you can do on these shoes. Mm-hmm. Eventually everything's been done.
Hey, Ant, keep doing your thing, bro.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Unreal.
Yeah. You know who else has it? You know, I'm really interested to see how their shoe look like. It's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I don't know what way they're going with those shoes, but
it looked like somebody had knitted those together. Yeah,
no,
it looked
right?
like it was made out of cloth. I mean, it's unique.
Yeah.
But I wonder how. I got to look at them more in depth because I'm like, how does that hold up?
It almost looked like Haney's shoe he had on.
Yeah, I just
I understand what Haney was wearing in that ring the other night. Them shoes, I'm like, damn, you got on moccasins, dude? What the hell you wearing?
Man, he got knocked out too.
Yeah. All right, let's. I did want to bring up this quote. Now we'll move on to the playoffs. There are a bunch of good stories here, and then we'll get to this week's game, which is new. We'll see how it goes. The league hates Anthony Davis. This season marks his 12th without a Defensive Player of the Year trophy. He didn't get nominated. He's fed up. He said to ESPN's Dave McMenamin, I'll never get it. They're never going to give it to me. The league doesn't like me. I'm the best defensive player in the league. I can switch 1 through 5. I can guard the pick and roll the best in the league from a big standpoint. I block shots. I rebound. I don't know what else to do. I'm over it. I'm just going to do what I got to do to help my team win and try and play for a championship. Accolades and individual awards, I'm done with them.
Well,
I had to look this up to make sure this was, and I saw it on social. I was like, this can't be real. That's my first thought. I was like, this feels
real.
I know, but when I first saw it, I was like, it feels like a troll story. Feels like clickbait. And it kind of threw me. That was the way he framed his response.
Well, if he wasn't going to get it before, if he didn't get it before.
Oh, he ain't getting it now.
He damn sure ain't getting it now because it's a man by the name of Wembanyama. That is on his way. He told Rudy Gobert.
Well, forget that. When you say shit like that about the league doesn't like me, and then you throw this kind of a little hissy fit, man, they ain't lining up to give you any awards now.
Well, if that would have been David Stern, I'd say yes. But Adam is a forgiving soul. He forgives everybody for everything. Players slide so much. But you know what? Here's the thing is, the league has nothing to do with that award. It's the freaking writers. Right. And I want you to think about this. Writers, they ain't the smartest writers in the world when it comes to playing basketball. They know how to write and tell a story.
Yeah.
Right.
And for me, most of the writers, the most people who have votes are East Coast players, East Coast writers. So by the time the Lakers come on, they fucking sleep.
Yeah.
They don't watch. And you have to watch basketball. Like, you just can't say, I'm an East Coast guy. It should be split 50-50. You should have West Coast. When I say West Coast, Cali. And I say East Coast, I mean like Eastern time zone, Pacific time zone. Because so many times these writers, I'm going to fucking bed. I just finished my story. It's late. I'm tired. I'm not watching West Coast basketball. And so that's the problem that I have with They need the league, anytime it comes to awards for players, they need to take it out of the fucking writers' hands, get a panel of ex-players who watch the game, who know the game, and have no bias to do with anything, and let them vote. Because they're going to be truthful. Like, you know, think about it. Ask Shaq.
Well.
he wasn't unanimous.
Was very vocal
Ask
about
King
that.
Griffey Jr. He wasn't unanimous. It's so many times he reports they hold grudges. So you need to take them out of this.
Yeah. Man, he's right about what he's able to do. He can guard. He's able to guard 1-5. He does block shots. He does alter shots. He does it all. And Rob is
don't
right
you
too.
Dare bring, and don't you dare bring up winning for the team because.
Oh, no.
Bam. And we'll be y'all. Oh. Eight teams. All right, less wins.
Yeah, I'm not. No, I wasn't going to do that. Because my thing is. No, I wasn't going to do that. Because my thing is, if that's the case, then we're going to have to take some of Rudy's away.
Yeah.
I mean.
He shouldn't have any.
Well, I won't say that. I ain't going to say that.
Hey, he shouldn't have any.
Why you say that?
Because defense is not about just blocking shots, dude. You think about it. It's, you know, and I know.
Okay, well, take Dwight Howard's away then.
I would, no, but Dwight moves his feet. He would get out. Rudy Gobert doesn't move his feet, though. You know, the defense, to me, the Defensive Player of the Year award has been a joke since they gave it to fucking the boy in Memphis. I just lost his fucking name.
Jared Jackson.
No. The one before him, the brother Gasol.
Gasol.
Ever since they gave it to Mark Gasol, I'm like, this fucking award is a joke. You think about it. If you look at the last defensive players of the year, they all been from the East Coast. It's like, dude, really? Come on now. That lets you know that they only watch fucking East Coast basketball. And so this award has become a joke because defense is more than just fucking blocking shots. You had to, you know. You got to get in front of someone. You got to move your feet. And people get caught up like, oh, he had blocks, you know? And it's not just about blocks. I can understand if you're controlling the paint and doing stuff like that, you know? Like, you think about Giannis when he won it. You think about Dream when he won it. You know, all these guys. You know, when's the last time a guy who can lock you? I know the NBA has moved away from defense and it's all about offense.
Mm-hmm.
But this award has become a joke to me.
Well, Marcus Smart won it in 21.
East Coast.
Okay. Jaren Jackson Jr., Marcus Smart.
East Coast.
Rudy.
East Coast.
Giannis.
East Coast.
Giannis is Milwaukee. That's like the Midwest.
That's East Coast, but I'm talking about Eastern time zone.
All right. Gobert.
When he wanted to
Draymond
Utah.
Green.
Utah's West.
Draymond Green.
I know when he wanted to. Yeah.
West. Kawhi Leonard.
But see, those guys can move their feet on the perimeter and they can block shots. Rudy Gobert can't do none of that.
They don't play on the East Coast, though.
Yeah, they know. But lately, though, it's all been East Coast.
I'm not saying that – I agree with you. I'm not saying that a lot of these writers are the smartest because Anthony Davis, he's right. He is right about that Defensive Player of the Year where he should at least have one.
Bam should at least have one, too.
Who?
Bam.
Oh, yeah.
He got screwed out of a couple of them, too.
Yeah, I don't, you know, man, I just don't know. I don't know how to explain. I'm not a writer.
I don't think he's wrong when he says, I can do all the things that I can do. Like you said, my only hang with it is the whole, the league doesn't like me. Oh, come on. You're a big boy. Stop it.
But you know what the crazy part
just
is?
Just stop that shit. I don't know. My friends don't like me.
Basketball has become so analytical in that if you look at the defensive efficiency of a team is what it boils down to. People just look at numbers now.
Mm-hmm.
Their team has the defensive efficiency that's better than anybody's in the league. And so they are crediting that to Gobert, not knowing that Ant-Man is fucking locking people. Conley is locking people up. And what's the best defensive player on their team name? I can't think of the two guard on their team. He's the best defender on their team. Oh, crap.
Put a Google on it.
Yeah.
My brain is shot. I don't know anything.
Yeah, my brain is shot too. Yeah. But yeah, it's like, but the team defensively has a better efficiency rating than everybody. But this award is not team oriented. It's individual oriented.
But they also look at it, you know, from the analytical standpoint, not taking anything away from Ant and the other guys, What's the rating when Gobert is on the floor versus when he's off the floor?
Probably better.
I don't know.
When he's on the floor?
When he's off?
No, when he's off the floor, it's probably better.
Really?
Think about this. How can you have a defensive player of the year
the last couple of years
not can't play in the playoffs?
Yeah, I remember that quote. You remember we talked about that quote last week.
He has been a liability in the postseason.
Yeah.
And that's – I know usually that doesn't count toward an award.
What's that guy's name?
I don't know. Google will know.
But I will say, you know, the three that Dwight Howard won, I mean, came from blocking and altering shots.
When Dwight was in there, people feared Dwight. Don't nobody fear Gobert. It's a difference.
I mean, I get it, but, you know. Yeah,
and it's not me hating on Gobert, and it's not me, you know, it's the facts of the matter.
Yeah.
Jaden McDaniels is what I'm talking about.
That's okay. I'm over
he's
here
the best defender on the team.
Roster. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Do we want to talk about Jontae Porter? Got banned for life last week. It's been a minute since I've seen anybody get banned for life.
They're not playing with these. They're not playing with players betting.
No, man. It's all about this gambling stuff. The league's claiming he gave confidential information about his health to at least one known bettor. Says another bettor Porter knew, then placed an $80,000 wager that Porter would underperform in the Raptors' March 20th tilt with the Kings.
Wow.
The league said the bettor stood to make $1.1 million if the wager hit. The NBA's investigation found that Porter placed 13 bets, small bets ranging from $15, large bets wagering up to $22,000, with a net winnings of over $21,000. Porter never bet on games he played, but he did bet on the Raptors to lose. Almost every other player to receive a lifetime ban that I got to see, as far as the NBA goes, was either involved in some kind of huge elaborate betting scandal way back in the day, or it was drug and alcohol related, or the owner was a raging racist. Those are the things that get you banned for life. But sports wagering right now is blurring the lines on what you can, and I think Jontae Porter is the first guy we're going to see get hit with something like this, but it is not over. It is going to happen again. Whether it's to a basketball player or a baseball player, I don't know, but somebody else is going to test how far they can push giving someone information before they get nabbed.
Yeah.
I think this is just a whole murky water. You know?
The next person is going to be banned. It's going to be probably somebody in the NFL.
Could be somebody in the NFL.
Well, I mean, Calvin Ridley at one point was suspended for a season.
Right.
He was suspended for the full season for betting.
And
they've had a couple of guys suspended.
DraftKings or something, wasn't it, too?
Something like that.
Yeah.
The crazy part about it is when you look at my thing is, if you going to bet and you're going to win some money back, let your overall earnings be more than what you make in a season.
I don't think
his overall earnings was even close to what he made in a season playing basketball.
Yeah.
So I get you want to make a little, you know, maybe someone you want to make a little extra money. But I'm like, bro, you risked your career.
Look, man, I got no inside information. I'd still bet on the Raptors to lose. I don't think he had to put himself out there for that one. I'm just saying.
Not at all.
But he risked his career.
Yeah, now he's done. That's it.
To make a couple of grand?
Yeah. And he's gonna end up overseas now. Yeah, he's gonna end up in Taiwan.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Did we want to talk about the Caitlin Clark audio? I do have amazing audio, by the way, from the Jacksonville Jaguars coming up in a second. Did you hear the thing with Caitlin Clark? So she, by the way, signed her deal with Nike.
Yeah.
$28 million. Yep. So, yeah, there's your makeup for all the crappy contract and the WNBA stuff. And, yeah, she got
$3.5 million a year
from Nike. So she's going to be doing just fine. Did you hear the journalist at the press conference with her?
Oh, the creepy one?
All right. So after these games, she does the heart hands thing to her family.
Yeah.
If they're in the stands. So, you know, reporter gets up. The guy's cringy. He's from the, it's Greg Doyle. He's a journalist for the Indianapolis Star. And he does the heart hands thing to her.
Caitlin, Greg Doyle, Indy Star. Real quick, let me do this.
Does the heart hands.
You like that?
I like that you're here.
I do that at my family after every game, so.
Okay, well, let's start doing it to me, and we'll be able to get along just fine. So,
creepy.
Okay, here's the thing, though. I don't think he intentionally meant to be creepy.
That's fine.
I think he was just, he was trying to be funny. And he starts the clip by going, "I'm so happy you're here." Because this, I think, is going to be a big thing for them. And it obviously has been. I mean, their ticket sales are through the roof. Jersey sales are off the charts. Hold on, the stat. I have the stat here. Caitlin Clark's Indiana Fever jersey has outsold the Dallas Cowboys' entire team's jersey sales for the whole year.
Yeah.
Wow.
Love that. But I don't think he meant to be creepy. He just ended up there.
But it sound ridiculous. Like, yeah. That sound.
As long as you start doing it to me.
Yeah, you start doing it. You should start. Like, that's creepy, dog. Whether you mean it or not, somebody got to tap him and say, "Hey, bro, you know this going to make way, right? You know this going to get everywhere, right?" Yeah. That's creepy. Don't do that no more.
He probably happy that everybody in the world know who he is now.
Maybe. Yeah.
And think about it. People say, "That dude's kind of creepy. Let's start following him and see if he says anything else. You know, trying to go at Caitlin."
Oh, that's bad. No, that's not going to work out for him.
Creep.
That's going to blow up his face. All right, let's talk about Jacksonville Jaguars general manager Trent. I think his name's Balky.
Balky.
Okay, I don't know how to pronounce his name.
He used to be in San Francisco.
All right, so he's the general manager of the Jacksonville Jaguars. They were talking about him and Coach Peterson were meeting with the media, breaking down the draft. And this happens.
We're not there yet. You know, we still got a couple of days going through. Coach and I haven't sat down and gone through the final board yet. We'll do that on Monday.
Did he fart? Was that his stomach rumbling?
All right, so that's the question. Was that like a rumbly burp?
That's fart.
Or was that a rip it?
Play it again.
Here we go.
We're not there yet. You know, we still got a couple of days going through. Coach and I haven't sat down and gone through the final board yet. We'll do that on Monday.
I don't know.
After listening to it again, I might be saying stomach.
All right, one more time. I got an ice out. Hold on.
Excuse me.
That might... I don't know. I'm about 50-50.
I know, right? We got to call him up and ask him, "Did you fart?
He would never tell you."
He ain't gonna,
"Did you Donald Trump that shit and fart while you were sleeping?"
I'm about 50-50 on it. Either way, it's still funny.
What did you think, Turco?
It's a complete crap.
So it was a fart. That's a fart to me. I'm sorry.
I'm going with fart.
It's got too much low end. You know what I mean? Like, if it was a burp, it would be more here.
No, but I'm talking about even if it was
it's
a stomach rumble.
Too much off mic, you know? I don't know, man. It's a little too far off mic for me. I don't know how.
Excuse me.
Oh, yeah.
That might be a fart.
I don't know. All right, let's do Big Shot of the Week. It's going to go to Kadir Tola, who is just a good Samaritan in Minnesota and a number of several other people for a video that you probably saw this week. There was a fiery crash on I-94 in Minnesota. The car had gone off the road. It was a Honda. Went off the road, hit a light pole, and burst into flames. Well, this guy and a number of other Samaritans pull over, and the car is on fire. Somebody's trapped inside it. And the way that it went off the road, the driver's side door is wedged against the guardrail. So they're pulling at this door. They're trying to break the window. Literally, now I'm telling you, they're doing this while the car is on fire, trying to get this guy out. And they did not give up. They said, finally, one of those like highway hero people came around, shattered the window, and everybody dragged this guy out of the car. And I will tell you that within maybe 20 or 30 seconds of them getting him out of the car, fully engulfed. The whole car was completely on fire.
Crazy.
And it is wild, wild video if you haven't seen it. It is nuts. I mean, the car is on fire, and they are doing everything they can to get this guy out of that car. They didn't run. They didn't back off. They didn't stop. And eventually they got him out and saved his life.
That guardrail was holding the
door shut. Yeah, because the way it kind of came off the road, it wedged the driver's side door against the guardrail. So they couldn't get the door open. They're trying to do everything they can. So they were trying to break the window and everything. And then it was that highway hero guy that came along, hit the window, broke it.
Even the guy from the inside is trying to get it.
He was screaming. Apparently, according to the story, he's screaming, help me, get me out of here.
You see where it burst in flames, the brother fell down and ran away?
Oh, yeah. So just big shout of the week to all those folks that helped save that man's life, because it's really easy to go, dude, I don't know, man. I can't help you.
I'm not risking myself for
there's nothing I can do here, you know?
Yeah, but that's a big shot to them, because a lot of people would stand back. You know, so many people nowadays was like, okay, I'm going to break out my phone and film this, is not going to help, you know? So he took charge and tried his best.
Yeah,
you know,
sure did.
I think his thought process was to try to open the door, and then it was just so many things going on there. So big ups
to all those people, man. Mm-hmm. All those people stopped to help. All right, we got a new game this week.
Uh-oh.
I thought of this the other day. I want to give it a shot. We're going to see how it goes. It's called Tip Drill. And I'm going to give you the easiest explanation I can.
You in Atlanta, you need a tip drill.
Yeah, tip drill. You've played hot potato in your life, right? Where it's like you pass it back and forth and you don't want to be the one holding it when the time runs out.
Yep.
So I have three categories here. I'll let you pick. Uh-oh. Rob, you can pick off the top. And I'm going to put an indiscriminate amount of time on the clock. You're not going to know how much time. And I'm going to go back and forth. You're going to answer. I'm going to throw you a trivia question. You're going to answer it correctly in order for the next person to get the question. So we don't move on from you till you get the right answer.
I got you.
You don't want to be the one stuck with the question when the timer goes off. Does that make sense?
I got you. Yes. Okay. Yes.
It's hot potato.
Oh, Lord. Yeah.
It's hot potato. But you have to get the answer right.
To pass it.
You can't just go pass. Yeah. I don't know. You're holding it.
Mm-hmm. They play this game on the Jimmy Fallon show all the time.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. There you go. So there you go. We call it tip drill here.
That's My Jam. Have you ever watched that?
Oh, no, I haven't.
It's on That's My Jam. They do it on That's My Jam. All right.
So here you go. There's three categories. Category. I'll let you pick. Category one, I played with Robert Horry. Category two, the league doesn't like me. A little tribute to AD this week. And category three, hang it in the rafters. You get to pick, Rob.
Let's go hang it in the rafters.
Hang it in the rafters. All right. I'm going to put time on the clock. We will start with you, Rob. I'm going to give you a number in a city. You got to tell me whose number's hanging in the rafters.
Oh, okay.
Okay? So we'll start. Let's load this clock up. Rob, number 33 in Chicago.
Scottie Pippen.
Correct. B-Dog, number 3 in Philadelphia.
Allen Iverson.
Rob, number 41 in Dallas.
Dirk Nowitzki.
B-Dog, number 3 in Miami.
D-Wade.
Rob, number 33 in New York.
Patrick Ewing.
B-Dog, number 13 in Golden State, Philly, and Los Angeles.
Golly, Golden State, Philly, and Los Angeles. Wilt.
Good. Rob, 00 in Boston.
Robert Parrish.
B-Dog, number 42 in L.A.
Worthy.
Rob, number 6 in Boston.
Boom, boom, boom!
Bill Russell.
I know,
your brain shut off.
That Wilt Chamberlain almost threw me off, and then I remember he played for all three of them. My bad. I know. I had to get right.
Right.
I had to get back right.
B-Dog takes round one. So you get to pick round two. I played with Robert Horry, or the league doesn't like me.
I'm going to go with the league doesn't like me.
The league doesn't like me. All right. These are players that are notoriously either disliked or derided amongst.
I don't know if I'm gonna like this one.
Amongst the league, I'm gonna give you clues. You just gotta see if you can guess it. All right, B-Dog's up first. Let's load this clock up. Here we go. The league doesn't like me. Purple hair, nose ring, wedding dress. I'm an all-time rebounder. Good. Rob, the worm wasn't the only guy in Detroit the league hated. I still hold the all-time record for ejections.
Bill Laimbeer. Crap.
I know this one.
Rasheed Wallace.
There it is.
Yeah, you got it.
B, the league hating me because some trademark these days, ejections, suspensions, technicals. Even though I have four rings, at least I have a podcast.
Oh, Draymond.
There you go. Rob, you put on a Superman shirt one time and Shaq turns the league against you. Very good. B-Dog, look, man, just because I like to chuck up the occasional shot from the logo or lean in for a foul, I ran out of time. Yeah, I ran out of time on that one. It would have been Trey Young on that one. No, it would have been Trey Young. Trey Young. All right, time bitch in the ass on that one. All right, last category. I played with Robert Horry. Actually, I'm going to change the time on the clock here. Let me give you another indiscriminate timer. Let's do this one. All right, Rob, let's load this thing up. You're up first.
Okay.
Here we go. Yeah, I played in San Antonio, but it was also the flag bearer for Argentina in the 2008 Summer Olympics.
Manu Ginobili.
Very good. B-Dog, Houston was a blast, even though I got the same nickname as a Mel Gibson character for charging into the stands to fight people.
That ain't Vernon, is it?
Yes, it sure is.
Yeah, okay.
Robert Horry, I love Houston, but these days you find me gliding down a fairway more than a basketball court.
What?
There you go. Oh. B-Dog, sorry, but my wife's hotter than yours. You know, she was an acclaimed TV actress on Desperate Housewives.
She was a Desperate Housewives? This ain't Rick, is it? Fox? No. Desperate Housewives? I can't remember.
Oh, it's stuck.
I'm stuck.
Remember the categories I played with Robert Horry.
Yeah, I know. Desperate Housewives. I can't remember.
Tony Parker.
Shoot. Eva Longoria.
Desperate Housewives made her famous, man. Very good. The next one was, I might not have been married to Eva Longoria, but I was still the prettiest son of a bitch on the floor in Los Angeles.
Rick Fox.
Pretty Ricky.
Rick Fox was the next one. Dang. I forgot about Tony. Yeah.
That's fun. That's not bad, right?
No, that's a good game.
All right, well, look, I only put three categories together. Next time I'll go a little bigger with the game, but I wanted to try it and see if it stuck because sometimes these things fall flat.
Next time, don't put I played with Robert Horry. I played basketball with Robert Horry.
No! Because it's a much wider perspective than the other one.
I played with Robert Horry.
I met him in college. I was married to him for 11 years.
Candace! Man. No.
Oh, that's funny.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.